The sower soweth the word. Guys, we are a church that we are, you know, we want people to get saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, right? Then they got to grow in the word, and then we want to see their life completely transform, right? And so, but it starts with planting seeds. So let me give you a little intro of how God brought together this conference. How did we get this theme of a sower soweth the word? It all started when I was asked to speak at a church camp in Ohio. And I got a hold of a passage in Luke chapter 8. You can turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. I think a lot of you will know. In Luke chapter 8, and it was a story on the mustard seed, right? And in Luke chapter 8, it says, it talks about in Luke 8, there was this seed. And the seed gets planted. And once the seed is planted, then it grows. Then the tree is, the seed is supposed to grow into a tree. And then trees produce what? Fruit. So the seeds are in the fruit. So do you see that it's a cycle? This is exactly what our church is about. We want to plant seeds of the gospel in people's life. And it says here, I like this in Luke 8. If you're in Luke chapter 8, like look at verse 11. Luke 8, 11. Now the parable is this. Jesus begins to explain this teaching. He says, the seed is the word of God. So the seed we plant in people's life is the word of God. And you know what's crazy about it is if you read the seed and the sower, there's all kinds of different soils. There's soils that on the wayside, on the rock, in the thorns, and then there's good soil. All the types of soil picture the souls of people. Guys, all kinds of different people in our world. And guess what? It's our job to cast the seed there. It don't always take. People ain't always going to believe. That's on them, right? It's a free country. God gives us all a free will. They can choose what they want to, right? But here's the bottom line is, you know where seeds go practically? In dirt. Ministry's dirty. Right in the dirt of people's lives, they got bad things going on, habits, divorces, breakups, people got bad ways of thinking. Guess what? In our world, people are crazy. We're in a sexual revolution right now. People don't know whether they're male or female. Homosexuality is huge and popular. All that stuff. And guess what? What's the matter? Seeds need planted in the dirt, right? Somebody planted seed in the dirt of my life and it took. I got saved, so seed goes in dirt. And then the Bible says here, it says that it also, once it's planted, it gets watered, and then seed's expected to grow. You never plant seeds that are not expected to grow. So seeds go in dirt, then they're expected to grow. So some of you that become Christians, yeah, we got a structure in this church where you can grow. We want you to grow and mature and get to know the word. But the last thing it says in Luke 8, it says that the tree, you know what, go to Luke 13. This might be a better one. Go to Luke chapter 13. This is the mustard seed story. If you're in the book of Luke, just go to Luke chapter 13. In Luke 13, this ain't the mustard seed story. It's the where it says, in Luke 6, 1, Luke 13, 6, sorry, Luke 13, 6. He spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Why? Fruit is expected. So anybody that's in the farming business, you know, if you ain't getting the amount of yield you want, you'll change, right? You'll be like, man, maybe I need a different seed. I don't know. Because seed is always expected to grow. And then it says here in verse 7, it says, he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree and find none. Cut it down like it's cumbering the ground. And all of a sudden we see extreme measures. They're like, well, hey, what about putting manure around it? God is so concerned about you and me growing that he'll even put crap in our lives so we can get the nutrients out of it. And guys, usually people come to Christ, it's usually in the crap of their lives. Brian Clark says a different word than crap. I'm not going to say that. Right? Seed goes in dirt. It's expected to grow. And you know what happens? The Bible says when there is a seed that grows and eventually becomes a tree, there are several things about it. Several things the Bible says that this you have faith as a seed, a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Or you can say to this tree, be cast into the sea, and it'll happen. So just to let you know that when we have this kind of faith and this kind of growth, there seems to be like mountains in our lives. I'm like, man, I don't see that changing. I can't see myself being different. Man, I'm stuck. I'm like, well, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that seed of God's word's planted in your heart, just let it grow. Let it grow and get so big that it'll overwhelm your difficulty. Make it bigger, right? It's like having a picture of dirty water, muddy water. If you keep putting clean water in it, eventually, it might take 30 minutes. You come back, you're like, where's the mud? Isn't it weird how it washed away? That's exactly how the Christian life works. If you're willing to grow, you're going to get some victory. But you know this mustard seed story, when I preached on it, it was interesting because in the mustard seed, this little seed ends up growing, waxing great and becomes a tree. And the Bible says that birds land and they stay in the branches there. You got birds in the tree. Well, birds in the Bible, the picture of birds are kind of wild, right? It's like it can actually picture demonic things. And so you got birds in your tree. If you're going to grow, you're going to have difficulty. Hey, let me tell you something. My gosh, I got a hole in my pocket. I'm not lying. I can feel my knife at my ankle. I'm going to cut my leg off. And so, sorry, a little distraction. So shouldn't have pockets. That's probably the best thing. But I just want to let you know something. Guys, our church is on the move, man. Like, we got momentum going forward. And the enemy ain't happy about it. We do got birds in the branches. Don't ever think that when things are just smooth and dandy that, like, oh, God's in that because my life is so much better. No, sometimes your life gets bad being a Christian. I mean, think about it. They crucified Jesus. And all of a sudden you want to say, I want to become a Christian. I'm not going to promise you a rose garden, man. It don't always happen that way. I'll promise you some thorns along the way. That's for sure. But hey, Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, we had people responding to the message at our conference. Guys, we have had now, we've had 10 salvations in less than a month. Yeah, 10 people that have met Jesus Christ. Now check this out. Last Sunday morning, I was talking to this new guy in the back. We were just chit-chatting. As I was talking to him, I began to smell something. I was like, I think this guy might have pooped himself, man. It stunk. I was like, somebody's been in that bathroom. Then I started seeing some scurrying around. People were going in and out of the men and women's bathroom. And lo and behold, there was a problem. There was sewage coming up the drains in both bathrooms. And then even up the toilets. We're like, man, Houston, we've got a problem. And we were getting ready to eat, Sunday night. We were getting ready to do that banquet together and eat food. And I thought, my gosh, it's not good eating a good plate of pulled pork and smelling, garbage, sewage. But, all I could think about is God. We're seeing people saved. We're growing. I know the stench is beautiful in your nose. That's what he says. The prayers of the saints, right? Smell. They're like a fragrance that go up to him. I'm like, God, good things are going here, man. I can smell it. Things are good. And all of a sudden, I think the enemy wanted to rain crap down on our parade, man. I think the sewage came up and I was like, you know what we did? We had to call advanced plumbing, man, because this was so big. We couldn't solve it. It was a clog so massive that we couldn't deal with it. It was almost right at the street level. They had to bring that big old machine in. I don't even know how much the bill's going to be. I just know when it comes, I'm shredding it. That when they say, hey, man, did you say, we know she haven't paid your bill in 3 months. I'm going to say, what bill? But the point is, I really believe the enemy is not happy. I believe that we're on the roll. We need to sow seed, and he's going to come along and try to smell things up. A month ago, Bo said, Mike, I feel like we need to get more intentional about investing in people in our church. I said, give it to me. He said, let's get together a meeting and just let's make sure that we're ministering to our people in our church. I said, it's good. About that week of that, God showed me five kings. These five kings in Joshua, I'm not going to do them this morning, but I did them in the conference. Five mentalities. I was like, man, we're messed up here. We're thinking bad. And so, by the way, as soon as I got done teaching those, it was like soon after we seen a guy saved. Shortly after that, two people saved at the rescue mission. All of a sudden, a church up in Alexis called us and said, could you guys send us a preacher? There was a church in town here in Monmouth that called us and said, could you send us a preacher? By the way, both those churches have asked again if we could get on a schedule. there's a church in Galesburg that is not even, they're not doctrinally in line with where we're at. It's the Congregational Church in Galesburg, that big beautiful thing on the square. We've went there once. We've been asked to come back there here in 2 weeks if somebody could preach there. I'm like, my gosh, God, it's like, guys, listen, we killed some mentalities that didn't belong here. And guys, there's a wave right now. And I think we just need to ride it. We're surfers, man. You know, surfers go to the ocean. They can't create waves. Only God can create those waves. But when they're out there, you can surely call off work so you can ride them all day long. You know what I mean? And so that's what we're going to do. I just want to thank the Lord right now for what he's done. And our theme has been a sower, sow with the word. That's that verse in Mark 4:14. Let's get to know it. And guys, everywhere we go, let's sow the seed of the word. That's what Brian Clark's been speaking on. And, you know, let me give you a word from Brian Clark. He said that most churches he goes to, people are in suits and ties. They're traditional like Baptist churches. And every Wednesday night they gather, they pray, and then they go knock on doors. And they want to tell people about church and the Lord. I get it. That's not bad. You know, that used to be a little bit more effective than it is today. But he said, but most people individually don't share Christ. Like some guys at work just living life, doing this thing. But on Wednesday night, he was going to the church and doing it. So like in a corporate way, people would do it. But individually, they wouldn't. That's messed up. If it's real, you do it in your own life. Right? I mean, we come here to get in the word. But you know, we teach at this church, hey, get in the word on your own. You don't need me to teach you the Bible. We can. That's part of the job. But get in the word and hear from God on your own. And we teach that here. And so I just want you to know, Brian Clark said, I've noticed this about your people. Because we were, first day of the conference. And Terry's like, my gosh, I had a guy get saved this morning. I think it was second day there on Monday. We were like, and Brian's like, Mike, that's so unusual. And Chris gets on the phone with his mom and says, Mom, this is what's happening to me. This is what you need in your life. And so I just want you to know, that's a compliment that he passed on to our church. That we're doing something right there. I want you to know, you're doing something right. So I was going to summarize the whole conference. That's normally what I do, but I don't think I need to. Most people here gave a testimony, and you've already said things that have already happened in the conference. And I think we got a pretty good handle on that, don't we? And if not, you know, God's going to get that book. You know, we can learn a little bit more out of that. I've had some people mention to me, like, you know, we ought to do a book club and read that book and get together one night of the week and just discuss two chapters at a time. Hey, if you got some magic on putting that together, I have no trouble with that. You know, that can happen very easily if you want to, if that would help you get through that book. But I really loved when Brian Clark said, you know, the gospel works, but only when it gets to people on time. Time is short. I think the sun is right. You know, it's almost morning time where Jesus Christ is going to come back. Or as Brian Hedges says, it's winter time. Winter time is coming. Please bring those parchments, Timothy. Come before winter. So church, I think if anything, we feel the urgency of getting the word to the world. Our church, I used to tell people our church is the best church in the county. And I'd like to think, and people have left our church and said, man, I'm having a hard time finding a good church. And because they're, well, I appreciate that. That always feels good. Sometimes I try to convince myself that our church was the best church ever. Well, I'm not sure the message to deliver out there is that our church is good. But Jesus Christ is. He's the Savior of the world. People need a Savior. Let's sow the seeds of the Word. And you know what? Then they can grow here. We want to provide a structure where people can grow. I love our church. I think we're a great church. If you want my opinion about it, we're the best church within a stone's throw. I think we're the best church in the county. I'm not going to lie to you. But there are other churches out there, too, and some of them are doing the job. And you know what the job of a church is? It starts there, sowing the seed. They're sowing the seed of the gospel. And any church that's doing that, I'm cheerleading them on. I'm rooting for them, right? And so, hey, Brian Clark, he just spoke for not too long. I think Brian Clark's message is like 11-plus minutes long. It's right there. So what I'd like you to do is, if you got a notebook or from the conference or piece of paper, Brian's literally sitting on a couch, and he's just going to lay the end of the message. I haven't heard it yet, so I'm going to grab my pen right here. I'm going to take notes, too. So are you guys ready for it? All right, Jesus, man, speak to us right now. I pray that we all take something away from today's message. Amen. Let's do it.
Hey, guys, listen, we wanted to add this video to the conference because there just wasn't time to get everything into it. Okay, so I just wanted to add this little supplement on the end because there was some other information that I really wanted to get to you. Now, the first thing that I wanted to share with you is actually might be considered a little bonus material because this little piece is not even in the book. Whenever we do a revision of the book, we're actually going to add this piece. So you're actually the first people to get this. And that is with that disposition of a soul winner. We said you need to be bold, you need to be meek. But the third piece that we're going to add to that later is joy. And this really completes the biblical disposition of soul winner, is that you have boldness and that you are meek. Like, you're bold, you're honest when it's inconvenient to be so, but you're also meek. You want to take your power and use it to serve. But the last thing is that you have joy. And don't ever let people take your joy. And this third piece, when it's infused with these other three, this actually makes a combination that is so unstoppable, but is also so attractive to people. And so that's the last piece. And we don't really have time to go into all of the scriptures. Whenever the new revision comes out, you'll see that. But that's the last thing. Make sure that you are bold, that you're meek, but you also have joy. Okay, now once you have the disposition of a soul winner down, you might think, okay, what am I actually supposed to say? Now, when it comes to starting a conversation, the thing that we say, obviously the title of the book is Just Ask. There is a way that you can be bold with people and still be polite. And it's one of those things that we never really think to do, and that is to just ask them. So I do that all the time. I'll ask people, hey, Jim, would you like to grab a cup of coffee? And I'd love to open up the Bible and show you what it means to follow Christ. Would you be interested in doing that? That is one of the best ways to find out if people are interested. Remember, that's what we said. We are interested in those who are interested. So the best way to find out if someone's interested is just to ask them. We don't have to try to worm it in. We don't have to try to beat around the bush. You know, with boldness and meekness and joy, just ask them. Say, hey, would you like to talk about it? Are you interested in talking about it? And if they say no, well, that's okay. All you do is just go ask someone else. Now, three magical things happen whenever you ask somebody. Is number one is you know where they stand, right? You know that you're not going to spend the next 3 years building a bridge to Jim because Jim's not interested. Number two is they know where you stand. And in a world filled with fake faith, it is amazing whenever they get to rub up against someone that is real. And man, if things go sideways in their life, guess who they're going to talk to? Because they know where you stand. They know that your faith is for real. But most important, number three, is that you've been obedient. And that is our measure for success. Not results, but obedience. All you have to do is just make the attempt. And that is full success. That is full reward. You need to remember that whenever you are soul winning, all you have to do is just make the attempt. And that is obedience. The other thing you need to remember about soul winning is that it's always a win-win proposition. You cannot lose when you are soul winning. Okay, if I go out there and I make the attempt and someone shoots me down, or they, you know, don't like me anymore, or they persecute me, or whatever might happen in a negative way, Matthew 5 tells me that I should be happy because great is my reward in heaven. I get rewards for that. And if they want to hear the gospel, if I get to actually share it with them, or maybe I even lead someone to Christ, I get rewards for that too. No matter which way it goes, I get rewards. I win for that. When it comes to soul winning, remember this. The only way that you can lose is if you don't do it. So in this concept of just ask, the word ask is an acronym, A-S-K. And that's the first one, is just ask for permission. Just ask them. It's the best way for you to be bold without burning the bridge. You don't have to be one of these people that's all up in their face. And you don't have to be one of these people that's scared to death. There's a better third option, and that is simply to ask for permission. And then the letter S is to share the gospel. And we put that in there because it's amazing how much we can talk to people about God and miracles and church and politics and philosophy and psychology and life in general. it's amazing how much we can talk to people without actually sharing the true gospel. And the true gospel is made up of three parts, really four. And that is the sin of man, the salvation of God, the Savior, but also the decision that an unbeliever needs to make. And these are really the four things you need to talk to them about. You need to talk to them about their sin. You need to talk to them about this salvation that comes, not by works, but by grace alone. You need to talk to them about the Savior, actually the mechanics of why the cross is necessary. But you also need to talk to them about their decision. They have to make that decision. It has to be personal. So you want to, when you get the opportunity, make sure that you get them into the verses. Remember, the gospel is where the power's at. Get them into the verses, get them into the Bible, and actually share with them all four of those things. When you get someone to the cross, like you've talked to them about their sin, you've talked to them about their salvation that they need, that's by grace. And when you get them to the cross, a lot of times we think that we're done. And actually, when you get there, you're only halfway. Because now you have to walk them all the way home. You got to make them, or you have to help them make that decision. Because even though they know the truth, they still don't know what to do. You have to help them make that decision and actually, you know, say the prayer or however it is that you walk them through that. So that's the letter S. Actually spend time sharing the gospel with them. And you can use your testimony, you can use your stories. All those things are great tools, but make sure that you actually share the gospel from the word in the power of the Spirit. That is where the power is at. Now, the last one, the letter K, is the one that really changed my life. It changed the way that I share the gospel forever. And the letter K from A-S-K means keep the conversation going. Every time I talk to someone, whenever I get an opportunity, I'm not thinking that I want to have a conversation with them. What I'm thinking is I want to have 10 conversations with them. Because for most people, it's going to require more than one conversation in order to lead them to Christ. Some people are just ready on the first one. But for the vast majority of people, it's going to take more than one conversation with them. And I love this because what it does for me is it helps kind of slow everything down. It really takes the pressure off. If you think about what it is we're asking people to do, spiritually speaking, if I walk up to someone and I ask them to give their life to Christ, that would be like spiritually like asking them to marry me. That's the weight of the question that I'm asking them. And so we have to understand how big of a deal this is. And for most people, that's going to take more than one conversation. So what you want to be doing in your spiritual life is not only looking for, you're interested in those who are interested, you're looking for those people that you can tell the Holy Spirit's already working on them and they're interested. But once you start getting those conversations with them, the thing you want to be thinking to yourself is, how can I always be moving this to the next conversation? That's always your approach to people. The first time you talk to someone, you're getting a feel for whether or not they're interested, and you're thinking, how can I move this to the second conversation? So like, for example, when I'm out on the street and I'm talking with people and I give them kind of a brief version of the gospel and I'm thinking, like, I ask them, what do you think about that? And they give me some sort of answer. And I said, that's really cool. I said, because here's what I really want to do. What I really want to do is, there's a coffee shop right down there. I'd love to sit down with you over a cup of coffee, open the Bible, and really lay out the gospel for you. Would you like to do that? And they say yes sometimes. Sometimes they say no. And so then I meet up with them and I share the gospel with them. If they don't get saved, then I'm like, okay, that's totally cool, man. And I say, but would you like to meet again? Would you like to do this some more? And if they say yes, then I try to move that to the next conversation. Now, in your culture, that might look all different kinds of ways. Like where we're at in Kansas City, one of the things they do is they meet up with people for coffee, but they also have these little evangelistic Bible studies. So that's one way they keep the conversation going. They'll meet up with them for coffee, they'll share the gospel with them, and then they'll invite them to come along to this evangelistic Bible study so that week after week they can keep that conversation going. Now, that's totally great. That's a great idea about how to keep it going. Maybe you want to keep it going on an individual basis. You have to work that out in your culture. But I highly recommend that you take this overall approach with people, that you want to have a dozen conversations with them. And I don't mean just on the sidewalk or right after church conversations. I mean gospel conversations where you can sit down, actually open up your Bible and talk with them. And so this is the ASK. This is the way, these are kind of the guideposts that can help you navigate any conversation that you're in. Ask them, would you like to talk about it? If they say yes, share the actual gospel with them from the Bible. And then K, keep that conversation going. And I promise you, if you go out and you just start asking people, it's only a matter of time before you are sitting across the table from someone sharing the gospel with them. Don't believe the lie that people out there aren't interested. There's a load of people out there right now who will sit down with you and they will listen to the gospel if you will just ask. Okay, last thing. Just as a word of warning and encouragement, you are going to mess it up. And I want you to know that's okay, because that's the only way that you learn. When you go out there, you're going to start trying to ask people, you're going to start sharing with people, and you're going to totally screw it up. And you're going to say it wrong, you're going to do it bad, and that's totally okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way that you learn. So that's actually what your homework assignment is from this video. I want you to go out there and I want you to make a mess of it. You'll see this is the last chapter of my book. This is exactly what I tell all of my students. You don't get an omelet without breaking a few eggs. So your assignment now is I want you to go out there in the power of the Spirit, prayed up, studied up, ready to go. I want you to go out there and I want you to break some eggs. I love you guys. Happy fishing. God bless.